Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with our producer, the ace producer, Rosemary Brandt. We welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Monday, February 17th, 2014, the day the nation observes President's Day. We used to observe the 22nd of February for Washington's birthday, and then, of course, Lincoln's birthday on February 12th. Then the government decided, well, why don't we make just a Monday holiday, and so here it is, President's Day. The Buckmaster Show live each weekday, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We stream our show live at buckmastershow.com and, of course, kvoi.com, and then we post the program usually within an hour of its conclusion for the exclusive podcast on the BuckmasterShow.com website. We'll get things rolling this Monday afternoon. The Monday political face-off, then 34 minutes or so past the hour, we'll kick off Rodeo Week with a conversation with author Alan Day. Mr. Day's new book is titled The Horse Lover, A Cowboy's Quest to Save the Wild Mustangs. If you have a comment or question, we would welcome it right here, 790-2040. We also invite you to join us on Facebook. The Facebook page site is my name, Bill Buckmaster. Time for the Monday political face-off. Our commentators today, John Munger, Tucson attorney, former chair of the Arizona Board of Regents and 2010 Republican candidate for Arizona governor, Vince Robago, Arizona Tucson attorney, also Democrat candidate for Arizona Attorney General in 2010. The Monday political face-off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com, and they're also on Facebook. Happy President's Day to John and Vince.
Happy President's Day to you,
Ben. Same to both of you and everyone out there.
Did you have a great weekend?
Had a great weekend. I went out to the great outdoors with my family and just did the regular weekend thing.
Yeah, a lot going on with the golf tournament this week and then the rodeo.
It's getting busy.
Yeah, busy.
Great
week.
Time of the year in Tucson.
It really is. Vince, who's your favorite president?
You know, that's a good question. You know, I'd have to say I have a short list of favorite presidents.
Let's hear it.
You have to give a nod to George Washington for being the first, of course. Mm-hmm. Then I'd probably follow up with, and John will be happy to hear, there's a Republican president, Lincoln, for his efforts during that period of time. Probably followed by FDR. And all the things he did with respect to, you know, Social Security, the Great Depression, World War II, all those efforts. And then I'm not going to get to the fifth one, but I'll stop at number four, and I'd have to say President Kennedy, and I'll wait to the top five. I'll wait, and I'm only going to be talking, of course, about those that are not sitting in office at this time. But I'd have to say those are my top four at present, with some room for the fifth, and have a top five.
John, how about you? Who's at
Well,
the
I agree. I'm a big Washington fan. He established the precedent that he was a citizen first, never wanted to be president. Wouldn't it be nice if we had some politicians who really wanted to be in the private sector and had to be forced to be in office? Lincoln was a great president, all-time great president. Ronald Reagan was a fabulous president, the last truly great president I think we've had. But we've had some great ones,
and
we've had some mediocre ones.
And Ronald Reagan didn't make your list, Vince?
He did not.
Okay,
I think
is he overrated in your opinion?
I think in my perspective, yes. I think when you look at the overall historical context, that's why I'm reaching back, of course, like as John did to George Washington and other that had significant impact.
I will say that I thought FDR was a great war leader. His economic policies were, frankly, a miserable failure until the war came along. But he was a truly great war leader, and he did a great job of leading this country through the Second World War.
So you'd give him very high marks on the foreign, but not on domestic.
Domestic was a failure, but with
the New Deal and everything like that.
Well, I mean, you know, we were in a depression, and it continued until we cranked up for the war. That's all.
I think that's amazing to have some of the greatest social net programs like Social Security. You have the Civilian Conservation Corps, all the efforts that he did on behalf of the country and the economy to characterize the domestic half of that as a failure. I think that's certainly not well taken. But if let me add to mm-hmm. the list, if we're going to talk about others, and you were talking about Reagan, mm-hmm. certainly for example, if we're going to talk about, and I'll talk about the Republican side of the aisle, Teddy Roosevelt, for example, mm-hmm. that's a great example that I think we could use today in terms of busting up
the trusts,
large corporations, and for example, the banking, Wall Street. You see this trend towards corporate control in terms of monopolization. And what happens is they offer these services, and it's so different today, the type of economy we have and the type of services you can bundle together that make it very convenient for customers to want A, B, or C product. But at the end of the day, there's less competition overall.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that there were two sides of the coin with Teddy. I think we do need somebody to break up this large corporate slash governmental monopoly. We've got the corporate slash governmental elite back east, especially, who all went to the same schools, are all buddies. It's corporate corruption going on. They've monopolized huge business and huge government to scratch each other's backs at all times. That's got to be broken up. I think Teddy was on top of that. The problem I have with Teddy was that Teddy was the first president who really pressed for big government. Mm-hmm. And we're still paying the price for that. But there are some things like his trust busting that the government needed to do, and I think that was important.
And the environmental side too, with Teddy Roosevelt.
Sure,
that's very
huge
true.
Huge advocate of setting up America's national park system.
Yeah, he was a conservationist.
Yeah,
not the same genre of environmentalist that we've got today. I got a kick out of the big solar plant over in the California border called Ivanpah, which has now a huge solar plant out in the desert, and it's created so much heat that it's frying birds that fly over.
Mm. High energy, apparently.
Yeah, it creates temperatures of 1,000 degrees above the solar.
Oh, my goodness.
Sounds like they just need to harness some more of that and the right direction.
All right.
Part of our bad science.
We've heard about the past presidents looking ahead. Hillary Clinton, was there an event last night supporting events? Wasn't there some Hillary Clinton event here locally?
I thought I saw you post something on Facebook about that. There was an event last night at Hotel Congress, mm-hmm. and it's a efforts across the country actually were held last night all over the country. For folks that are encouraging Hillary Clinton and her potential candidacy. Obviously, she's not a candidate yet. There is nobody that's declared, so to speak. But you know the way that these things work. They run for years in advance. And so I was very pleased to see the level of organizational structure for someone whom I will believe ultimately will be the Democratic nominee. I don't see or hear many other names out there.
She'll be the nominee.
Yeah,
I agree.
Mean,
there's a few other names
Biden's
out there.
Biden's name comes up, Biden. But that's
yeah, Biden I don't think can't that's win.
No, John, on the Republican side, I mean, it's a huge pool, and I keep hearing or seeing reports that Mitt Romney might be someone, again, that the Republicans might turn to.
Well, he says he's not running, and his family says he's not running. I don't put much credibility in that, but there are a lot of good candidates out there. I think once Chris Christie gets through this issue of the bridge, and we will find out whether or not mm-hmm. he knew anything about the bridge problem in New Jersey. If it turns out he didn't, as he said, then, which we don't know now, but if it turns out that he was telling the truth, I think there will be a backlash in his favor of people saying that he's been wrongfully maligned about that issue. I think he'd be a great candidate.
You personally, if you had to select someone right now, John Munger, who is your favorite?
Well, I
put you on the spot here.
I would say I love Marco Rubio.
Okay,
I think he's fabulous. I love. I think Chris Christie is good. I think, frankly, Rand Paul has got a great message for the party in terms of broadening the base of the party. I love his free economics bent. There is a lot of great candidates. Paul Ryan is great. Scott Walker has proven to be a guy that can win campaigns. There's a lot of good candidates out there.
You think Hillary could beat any of those candidates?
I do. And I think if I had to say which one, from my perspective, would be the strongest contender, it would have been Chris Christie.
It would have been
Chris Christie. The problem that I see for Chris Christie is no matter whether or not he directly knew of this or not, what happens is you have very high to the top aides. I think there were two of them that got fired. That shows a severe judgment problem. When you are hiring folks that are of the sort that are going to go off and do that sort of thing, the problem is it doesn't matter whether or not he ultimately knew. That bridge gate is going to haunt him matter what
happens.
If
we're going to play that game, how about marrying Bill Clinton? Talk about bad judgment.
great decision there.
I think that Chris Christie would probably be the strongest candidate against Hillary Clinton. I think Vince is right about that. I think Hillary Clinton has some problems. I think, number one, she's nowhere near as charismatic as Barack Obama is. And number two, she really has not, in terms of her own personal accomplishments, accomplished much. And, the international scene, Barack Obama promised to push the reset button with Russia. We were going to make friends with all the terrorists. All of that happened under Hillary's watch.
That's just
and
bogus malignment here.
I mean that's all what right. he said.
That is not what he said. President did not come out and say we're going to go out and make friends with all the terrorists. I don't know if you know how
Vince,
you sound
Vince, he
coming
said,
across not
he
only
said
this
we
room
were,
but to all the listeners
we were,
out there. It's
we
just defies reasonableness.
We were going to repair the American facade in the world. And frankly, we're worse off today than we've ever been.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. When we come back, or should we take Cynthia now while we're still on topic here? Because we may switch topics after the break. Go ahead, Cynthia. You're with John and Vince and Bill.
Oh, thank you. I just wondered if either of you thought that the Clinton's hold on the party is keeping the Democrats from developing a bench of younger candidates.
Oh, I think they've got a bench of young. I think they've got people like Cuomo ready to come up. I do think the Clintons have an iron hold on the party. I don't malign them for that. That's typical in politics. But I think they've got a bench. I look at Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York. I think he'd be a tough candidate. I think they've got some people, but you just don't hear about them because they're not ready to run against Hillary
quickly
yet.
Before the break.
I would agree with John. The other thing, too, is this is part of that. What you're pointing out is not an issue of their culpability. This is a broader issue with politics nationally and how it works and what you need to have to be a viable candidate and have those connections and networks and so forth. So it's not someone restricting other candidates. It's just the way the system, and there may be other ways to fix that.
All right, we're going to take our break right here, the first break of the Buckmaster Show. It is the Monday Political Face-Off. We'll be right back.
Do you want to learn how to live healthier for your stage of life?
Then make plans to attend the Ages and Stages Active Adult Lifestyle Expo on March 8th at Casino del Sol.
Discover new ways to enrich your daily life. Stay healthier and be informed and engaged for the different life stages from midlife and beyond.
The Pima Council on Aging Ages and Stages Expo features 150 local exhibitors, a wide range of fun activities, food, demonstrations, seminars, prizes, and live musical entertainment.
The Ages and Stages Expo is free for adults of all ages, March 8th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Casino del Sol. Event proceeds benefit Pima Council on Aging. For more info, visit pcoa.org. Presented in part by Arizona Daily Star, Assurance Healthcare, TEP, and this station.
If aging isn't your issue now, it soon will be. So attend the PCOA Ages and Stages Active Adult Lifestyle Expo, March 8th at Casino del Sol.
Hi, this is Keith from American Openings. You've heard me talk about our replacement windows. Now listen to what some of our customers have to say.
Before we had the windows replaced, we could barely see out of them.
My windows were single pane, costing me more money and energy.
We called American Openings. They came out, measured all of our windows. There weren't going to be any gimmicks, no big surprises at the end.
He told us about the warranty and the process of the work.
When they said they'd guarantee it for life, I was sold. It was definitely a seamless scheduling process.
They installed these in one day, and I didn't think it was possible.
There was no drywall damage. There was no stucco damage on the outside of our home. No problems whatsoever with any of the custom orders that we needed done.
Everything went super smooth, and they did not have to go in and restucco anything.
They said what they were going to do, and they did it.
They really improved the looks of my home. I love them.
The choice for replacing your windows is clear. American Openings, Arizona's window manufacturer, 664-1202, or visit AmericanOpenings.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back on this President's Day 2014. The Monday Political Face-Off with John Munger and Vince Robigo is brought to you by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com, and of course on Facebook. If there's any framing needs in your future, no question about it, this is a no-brainer. Moe's does the best job in town. John, you during the break, you were mentioning a name that we had not brought up about potential Republican presidential candidates.
Wouldn't it be interesting to have Hillary Clinton run against Jeb Bush? Of course, the Democrats would say, well, yet another Bush, and the Republicans would respond, yet another Clinton. That would be a very strong race for both sides. And that may be what Jeb Bush is waiting for.
Yeah, because he's kind of low-key right now.
He's been very low-key. Yep.
It would be interesting. It does kind of highlight the issue that your caller referenced, though, and that's part of there is a problem in the system and how national politics works. Yeah. And I think your caller is touching on that, and that is this sense that you have, you know, essentially like a monarchical system where the lineage, political lineage
I think you and I agree on this, Vince, that we've got an oligarchy running this country. And this political/business oligarchy, particularly back east, I'm very concerned about it. We've never had a situation where government was so big that it was worthwhile for businesses to take over government.
That can be dangerous.
It's very dangerous. And the larger government has gotten, the more profitable it has become for businesses to intertwine with government, to take it over, use its largesse, make sure they're on the payrolls, make sure they're getting the subsidies. That has to be broken up.
Mm. Well, I certainly think there's a problem. I don't know if I agree in the same definitions that John is using, but certainly there are issues with respect to some of the big issues that I've talked about already, whether you're talking about banking, some of the telecommunications issues, some of those issues are certainly ones that do need to be addressed. But I mean, if you want to talk about those sorts of issues, you can look no further than Arizona. You look at sort of the hold that the private prison industry has on our governor and the state legislature, and they were issuing beds and obviously, point of disclosure, I ended up suing the governor a couple of years back and the Department of Corrections for not following their own laws on auditing these private prison contracts for over 20 years as they were required to do under state law. Mm-hmm. So then guess what happened? After they ultimately, this is one of those weird situations, we ultimately lost the case due to standing but won the war because then the department dropped its bid for 5,000 prison beds and admitted that they didn't need that many.
Yeah.
And then guess what happened? Mm-hmm. After not ever having enforced this law, John Kavanaugh comes along and pushes a bill through the legislature to strip the government from ever auditing or reviewing how these private prison contractors perform.
Mm. So that's wrong.
That is dead wrong. I didn't realize
Anytime, and both parties are guilty of it, anytime that you have this collaboration between big business and big government, you're going to have a problem, and it's going to hurt the little guy.
Let's go to Joe on the Buckmaster Show live line. Joe, we're quickly running out of time. Your question or comment, please.
Air hug for John Munger, because what you just said, John, was golden, and I criticize the Republican Party all the time. But you're getting real. You know, it's dropping that front and the whole, you know, everybody's. I just commend what you just said.
Well,
and
thank you,
Vince. Way to go. Way to double up. That's it's a good thing, because this is neo corporate liberalism versus neo corporate conservatism, and there's a whole bunch of holes in there. And this is how we get to what's real and get it back to what the people, you know, instead of legislation for the highest bidder. That's the way it is now.
Well, okay. Yeah, and I think you're right. And I'll tell you, I think the only solution, the only way to beat that game is it's another reason to decrease the size of government, because the only way you're going to keep corporations out of it is to make it not worthwhile by stripping the powers of government. If you don't strip the powers of the government, they're going to take over the government as they have done. That isn't to say we need no government, but we need smaller government.
Well, let me just disagree again. John, without listing any particulars whatsoever, is just saying that government is so large that corporate America has essentially taken over government functions. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about banking. Government is not in the business of banking, for example, or Wall Street. It was the lack of regulation on all these crazy investments that Wall Street was doing that caused this last economic crisis in late 2007 and so forth. John, I think, is missing the point, in my opinion, and I think he's just – stuck on the one gear of let's have smaller government and trying to conflate the two issues.
I'll tell you why I say that, Vince. It's interesting that the Bank of America got its start as a small bank during the Great Depression because the large banks were run out of business in the Great Depression. The Bank of America, as big as it is now, got its start there. What we did with all these regulations in the most recent recession is we made it possible for the large banks to survive, and we're currently running the small banks out of business.
Well, I agree with the too big to jail philosophy. I think that's wrong,
and I think they need to be broken up. The concept of big government coming in to regulate industries in collaboration with the very industries they're trying to regulate is just going to make it possible for big companies to survive and small companies to be run out of business.
All right. John and Vince, good discussion. Thank you, gentlemen, very much for coming in. See you in a couple of weeks.
Thank you.
See you then.
The Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. We strongly urge you to take all your framing needs to Moe's at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. We'll be right back.
Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tankerverde Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
This is exactly how you found him. Mr. Arp, would you mind if Dr. Watson has a look at him?
Not at all.
Thank you.
One of the lumbar vertebrae, the third vertebrae.
Thank you. Simple as ABC, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not all things are as easy as ABC, but there are many ailments that can be treated with chiropractic care. Hi, this is Dr. Watson with Chiropractic USA. Did you know that chiropractic care can help with migraine headaches and high blood pressure? With natural chiropractic care, we go to the root cause of your headaches and high blood pressure without the side effects of other costly treatments. At Chiropractic USA, we can also help with dizziness and equilibrium problems because 85% of the nerves that help us adapt to our environment are behind your neck at the base of the skull. If you want a natural alternative to your health challenges, call Chiropractic USA for an appointment at 818-7788. In most cases, referrals are not needed unless you're a VA veteran. Chiropractic USA for the well-adjusted life. 818-7788.
The important message you're about to hear is brought to you by Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona.
Is your water hard to live with? Are you tired of water that tastes bad and smells bad too? Do you have hard water buildup on your shower walls, tile, and faucets? Are you tired of dry skin and dull hair? Are you tired of dingy laundry? What about premature replacing of faucets, fixtures, dishwashers, and water heaters? Well, it's time to do something about it, and Culligan Water of Tucson has a solution. A high-efficiency water softener that can eliminate these problems for $9.95 per month for the first 3 months rental with an annual service agreement. It's easy. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700 for complete details on this introductory offer. This is a limited-time offer, so call us today and start enjoying all the benefits and the savings of a Culligan high-efficiency water softener now. Remember, 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Inside Tucson Business is your best source for the business news of metropolitan Tucson. Whether you own or manage a company, want to start your own company, or just want to know what's happening with the region's economy, you need to read Inside Tucson Business, Southern Arizona's business news leader. Read us online at InsideTucsonBusiness.com or call 294-1200 to get your copy today. Inside Tucson Business. It's not personal. It's just business.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Eagle Eye Rare Coins is Tucson's only nationally recognized coin dealer. For more than 20 years, owner and rare coin expert Rick Snow has been Tucson's trusted advisor in evaluating your coins, currency, collectibles, gold, and silver. Eagle Eye Rare Coins at 6464 East Grant Road, next to the Fort Lowell Post Office, and on the web at TucsonSilverAndGold.com or call 498-4615.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Moncada Construction. Licensed, bonded, and insured, Chris Moncada and his team specialize in interior painting, drywall repair. They do excellent carpentry and insurance restoration. Call 520-390-2247 on the web at moncadaconstruction.com. And yes, they welcome credit cards. Well, back in 2002, Alan Day and his sister, former Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, co-authored the best-selling memoir titled Lazy Bee, Growing Up on a Cattle Ranch in the American Southwest. Alan Day's new book is his personal history of starting the first government-sponsored wild horse sanctuary, which was located on 35,000 acres in Sand Hills, South Dakota. After successfully lobbying Congress to approve the idea, Allen received 1,500 wild horses in 1989 from the Bureau of Land Management. Thanks to his maverick philosophy of horse whispering, Alan Day was able to train, believe it or not, the entire herd of 1,500 animals. Alan's book is titled The Horse Lover, A Cowboy's Quest to Save the Wild Mustangs, which the University of Nebraska Press will be releasing on March 1st. And the book is co-authored by Lynn Wheezy Snide. Lynn, a well-known Tucson area publicist, book publicist. There's also a foreword by Sandra Day O'Connor. Alan, how are you?
I'm fine, Bill, and thank you for having me on today.
Well, it's my pleasure. Tell me how the whole book project came about, The Horse Lover.
Well, I love that part of my life. It was just the highlight of my professional career, is to be out on the range with those horses and become their best friend and integrate with the horses. And when that ended, I thought, okay, that part of my life is done, but the memories aren't done. And I, in writing the half a book with Sandra, my sister, I kind of thought, gee whiz, if I can write a half a book, maybe I better step up and write a whole book. So it's kind of a logical progression.
And in the first book, talking about the lazy bee and growing up with your sister, Sandra Day O'Connor, and of course, former Pima County supervisor, longtime supervisor, Ann Day, also your sister. You grew up on a ranch, and so horses were really always part of your life, weren't they?
Well, yes, and actually my first horse, Chico, which is in the Lazy Bee book and the Horse Lover book both, was a little wild Mustang that was captured out of a wild Mustang herd that ran near the ranch. And so I, even from an early age, was fascinated with wild Mustangs and seemed to have a connection.
Well, let's see. You already owned a 200,000 acre ranch in the Southwest, and a 45,000 acre ranch in Nebraska. So then this third ranch in Sand Hills, South Dakota, why were you interested in the third ranch?
Good question. Long answer, but I'll give you the short. Yeah. The fellow that got me interested in the Nebraska ranch called me and he said, you need to see this ranch in South Dakota. And I said, well, don't want to. I'm already full of ranches. I'm active manager of both two ranches, and that's more than enough. Yeah, he said, but this is really a good ranch. You need to see it. Turned him down a number of times, and he finally wore me down. And I said, okay, I'll go look at it if you'll leave me alone. So I met him at Ninzel, Nebraska, and we went the 10 miles of ranch road up into South Dakota where the ranch is. And on the way into that ranch, I had the strangest experience. Apparently in another life, I've been there. And I knew what was around the next bend, and I knew what I was going to see with the meadows and the stream and the headquarters. By the time I arrived, I was totally entranced with the ranch. And so called my partners and said, I've had this strange experience, and you know, will you allow me to get this one? And they were gracious enough to say yes. So then I got this ranch and thought, oh my goodness, you know, how am I going to stretch myself thin enough to manage all three ranches? But
when was this? What time period was this?
88. And the ranch, when I bought it, didn't have cattle on it. Was just this. My predecessor had gone broke and had sold all the cattle.
At that time, Alan, there was not a wild horse sanctuary. That the government was involved with.
That nobody had thought of that, and so it was kind of we invented an industry, if you want to call it that.
And how did you, how was the government when you approached them about this idea?
Well, I sold it, the excess unadoptable wild horses, mm-hmm. which is what we got, were just in feedlots, and they were bored and would eat each other's manes and tails. And when you looked at them, you could visualize them running free out on the range. And so I went to the BLM and said, let's take those horses out of the feedlot and put them back on this beautiful, wonderful, grassy range. Well, that's a pretty easy sell. Why would the BLM say no to that?
Yeah.
So they said yes, but they said, well, we don't know if we can contract with you, so you better go to Congress and get them to agree. And you know, my cowboy background, I didn't know that you're supposed to hire a lobbyist or something. So I just went back there with Dayton Hyde, and we knocked on doors in Congress. But it was an easy sell because it was a good idea. So Congress agreed, and then the BLM wrote a contract with
us.
Did
you have to do anything to prepare the Mustang Meadows Ranch before receiving these 1,500 wild horses?
Oh, my goodness, yes. The ranch was quite run down when I bought it. The grass was bad, and the fences were bad, and the corrals were bad. And so we had to put up new fences. We redesigned a lot of the pastures for better grazing and more uniform grazing, and we had to just totally rebuild the corrals to make them strong enough to hold horses. And
these are wild horses.
These
right?
are wild Mustangs,
okay.
And so you're a little unpredictable and a lot unpredictable. So yeah, we had to do. We spent the better part of a year with a big crew, fixing fence and drilling new wells and changing corrals. And luckily we had a huge sheep barn in the north part of the ranch that was unused. And we tore that down for the lumber and then used that lumber at the headquarters to make the huge set of corrals to handle the horses there at the headquarters. So,
what eventually happened to the ranch, to the Mustang Meadows Ranch?
Well, when the contract ended on the horses, I decided I needed to go on with life. And I was really disappointed. But anyway, the Rosebud Sioux Indians, and the ranch bordered the Rosebud Sioux
reservation,
and they came to me and said they wanted to buy the ranch. And I thought, wow, this is poetic justice. We took it away from them after Lewis and Clark, and then gave it back to them. and then cheated them back out of it, bought it back with whiskey and, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And now they have a casino. They're making a lot of money. They want to buy their old land back. So it back and forth between the white man and the Indians. And so I sold it to the Rosebud tribe, and they were really happy to get it. It was their traditional land, and they feel very strongly about that.
And what happened to the horses?
Well, the contract ended, and the BLM decided to move them to Oklahoma. And some people in Oklahoma lobbied harder than I did, I guess. And actually, we bid on it, and my bid was one penny short.
Oh, sorry to hear that. Let's talk some more after the break with Alan Day, the new book, really his personal history of starting the first government-sponsored wild horse sanctuary, 35,000 acres in Sand Hills, South Dakota. The name of the book is The Horse Lover. And when we come back, we'll hear about how in the world was Alan Day able to train the entire herd of 1,500 animals. We'll talk about horse whispering when we come back.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Biosphere 1 is the world we live in. Biosphere 2 is an amazing reflection of Biosphere 1, a UA Science Innovation Center transforming, not conforming. Making ideas happen, like the massive new mountain slopes of the LEO project, which is reinventing Biosphere 2 into a remarkable enterprise for 21st century discovery and imagination. Biosphere 2, open daily, north of Tucson, America's science city.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Switch to Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 a month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Get a 30-day money-back guarantee and free professional installation with a 3-year agreement. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Offer ends 4/30/14. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on Cox Business Internet 150 megabits per second service versus basic 1.5 DSL. Actual speeds vary. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. Since 1987, Tucson's been home to one of America's premier sources of fine Persian and top-quality imported rugs at competitive and affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. Check out the fantastic savings during the February Valentine's Day sale at the place to see one-of-a-kind, new and antique quality rugs. The Rug Gallery in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and at ruggalleryaz.com and on Facebook or call 571-RUGS or 571-7847. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. We're speaking with Alan Day about his new book. The book is titled The Horse Lover, A Cowboy's Quest to Save the Wild Mustangs. And Alan, 1,500, you had a herd, this initial herd up in South Dakota on the ranch, an initial herd of 1,500 animals. These are wild animals, wild Mustangs. But through your philosophy of horse whispering, you were able to train the entire herd. How did you do that?
Well, it was certainly an interesting process.
I mean, do you do it one group at a time?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
give us
a
little
at a time.
Run us through it.
If I could, I need to back up just a little
bit. Go ahead.
When I got out of college and went back to the ranch in Arizona, my dad was not well, and he hadn't been out on the range very much. As a consequence, the cattle over there on that ranch had gotten really wild, and because they just weren't getting handled enough. And so a typical cowboy's answer is get faster horses to chase them. But as manager, I didn't think that was a good idea. So I said, well, I'm going to think up a program to get the cattle gentle and not bribe them, but just to deal with them. So I invented a program to gentle the cattle. Astoundingly successful in a very short period of time. The cattle were no longer afraid of us, and they would, when we'd come up, they'd look up and say, oh, it's you, what do you want?
Mm-hmm.
And instead of having to round them up with 10 cowboys, I could go out there with 3 people and round up what used to take 10. So I had a background in training cattle. So when I got interested in the horses, the horses are far more mobile than the cattle. If you think cattle can run off, then try horses. They're really wild. Their comfort level with man was about 2 miles, meaning if you got closer than 2 miles, they wanted to go to the next county. So I thought, if I have to manage this ranch and deal with the horses, I need to make friends with them. I need them to be my friend. Man is the worst enemy of wild horses because we chase them with helicopters and traumatize them and split up their families. So naturally, they just are frightened to death of man. So I decided that a version of the cattle training that I had previously done might work with the horses. So I would take groups of up to 100 and had a big arena. And I didn't want to, I don't want to make this clear, I didn't want to train them to ride. I wanted to train them that I was their friend and that they didn't need to run away from me. And that part of the training was that I'd ride through a group of them and I'd want them to get in behind me and follow me so that I could take them to the next pasture or bring them into mm-hmm. the corrals or wherever they needed to go and not have to chase them all over. So we would ride into a group of 50 or 100 in the corral, and when we'd first go in there, it was like a Chinese fire drill. They were running everywhere and scattering and frightened.
But gradually they came to accept you.
Yeah.
And they were no longer afraid of you.
And we needed to learn their language. And their language is nonverbal, but it's the way they position their body and the way they look at you and the way they hold their ears and signals that they give you is their language. So we needed to learn that. They taught us. And another thing that's very effective with them, we talked to them, and we talked to them in soft voices. And didn't shout at him, and not sharp sounds, and we would talk nicely to them. I don't know that they understood the words, but they certainly understood the tone. So, time and time again, we would have them in a big training arena, and we would saddle up and ride in there four times a day, mm-hmm. and we would only spend 20 minutes because their attention span is maybe less than that. So it wouldn't do any good to train for an hour at a time. But we'd go in there and train for 20 minutes and then go do something else and then come back. And in a fairly short period of time, meaning in maybe 5 or 6 days, they'd look up and say, oh, it's you. You know, what do you want? And tell us what you want. And they're only too willing mm-hmm. to do what you ask them to do because mm-hmm. horses are like dogs. They are man's friend. Mm-hmm. And they do want to follow.
So this sanctuary where you had the 1,500 wild Mustangs in South Dakota, did this become a model for other sanctuaries across the country?
Well, we thought other sanctuaries would follow our lead.
Did they?
Not really. The main one in Oklahoma, John Hughes came up from Oklahoma, and I took a lot of time to show him our training program and the effects that we had. And he said, oh, hell, I can just drive the feed truck through there and honk the horn and they'll follow me, so I don't need all that.
Mm.
Well, I guess maybe he could. I don't know. But I don't believe in bribing them. I want to make friends with them. But
there is an explosion of horses in this country, isn't it? Unwanted horses.
Our population of horses is way more than what we should have as a country with horses. Yes, there's a big explosion.
What should we do about it?
Well,
very controversial.
Yeah, it is a controversial issue, and I don't think I want to get in the middle of it, but mm-hmm. I would say to start with, we need to do birth control on more horses. You know, too many horses get pregnant, and then the issue from that becomes a problem. So we need to work on what to do with the excess, but even more than that, we need to work on why we have excess and work on you know, using birth control and, you know, whatever forms you have of that and cut our numbers down because we just have horses running out our ears now.
Alan, do we have any idea how many wild Mustangs survive in North America?
There are different figures, but...
And where are the pockets where you would find them typically?
More of them are in Nevada than anywhere else, but there are pockets of them in California and Arizona and Montana and Colorado and most of the western states have some wild horses, but over 50% are in Nevada. But the Bureau of Land, back to your question about numbers, the Bureau of Land Management says that the federal land that's set aside for the wild horses should carry a population of up to about 40,000. And when it gets more than 40,000, then the land is going to suffer because of overgrazing, and then we'll even support less. So it's the government's job to stabilize the number of the wild horses in the 30 to 40,000 head range.
The book is The Horse Lover, A Cowboy's Quest to Save the Wild Mustangs, authored by H. Allen Day with Lynn Wheezy Sneed, I got it right the first time. And a foreword is by Sandra Day O'Connor. What would you like the reader, Alan, to take away from the book?
I would hope the reader would have emotion when they read the book, would suffer, would feel sadness, would feel humor, would feel a bond with the land and with the horses, and would be transported a bit to the out with the horses, because the feeling of being with a herd of horses like that is just incredible.
Alan, thank you very much. Alan will be doing a couple of book signings at the Hal Empey Gallery. That will be this Sunday. He has one at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, another one at 4 at the Hal Empey Gallery in Tubac. He'll also be at the Book Festival, has a couple of events on Saturday and Sunday of the Book Festival. So look for Alan Day talking about The Horse Lover at the Book Festival. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is supplied by Culligan Better Water, pure and simple. Culligan for all your year-round residential and commercial water needs. Our thanks to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, for sponsoring this portion of the Buckmaster Show. Visit Silver City, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson. Their fine website is southwestnewmexico.org. For the full listing of great places to stay, including Gila Hot Springs Ranch and all the great activities in the Gila National Wilderness. On behalf of producer Rosemary Brandt, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero.